Good morning, McDermott Road.
Good morning.
I love you, and I'm so thankful to spend a few minutes with you this morning. Let me start this morning with a question. What experiences have changed your life forever? Maybe when you hear that question, you think first of some negative experiences that you've had. Maybe an accident or an injury, a diagnosis of a disease, divorce, a death of a friend or a family member. Or maybe when you hear a question like that, immediately you think about positive things like the birth of a child or marriage. I'm not just talking about memories that you think back on and you think, I'm happy about that or I'm sad about that. I'm talking about memories, things, events, experiences that truly have changed your life forever. That you're not the same person now that you were before that happened. That you can't, even if you wanted to, even if you tried, you can't think like you used to think. You can't act like you used to act. You are a different person now than you were before. We've all had experiences like that. We've probably had lots of experiences like that. Things that have changed us, transformed us, because they're so monumental, they're so huge. This morning, I want to talk about an experience that was so monumental, so huge. It changed forever, not just the people who witnessed it, but it still changes and transforms the people who hear it. That once you've experienced this, you can't go back. You can't think like you used to think. You can't act like you used to act. It changes you forever. On the night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, of course, you probably are familiar, Jesus was laid in a feeding trough. And about that same time that evening, here's the way Luke puts it, Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. In the same region, that is, in the same region around Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, of course, the Son of God had just been born, but they didn't know that. These shepherds were out in the field watching their sheep, doing what they did all the time. And for them, nothing could be more ordinary. It was a night like any other night. Can you imagine? That night that they went out there, it probably started just like any other day, just like any other night. They were doing what they had always done, and they were sitting there in the dark watching their sheep. But I want you to kind of step into their shoes, sandals maybe. Step into their sandals for just a moment this morning. And think about what life was like for them. It was hard. It was hard. It was harder than anything I've ever experienced. Just a normal, average, everyday experience was difficult for these shepherds. Politically, everyone in that area, in first century Palestine, everyone in that area had a difficult life. They were oppressed by the Romans. Their life was hard, it was difficult, but particularly for people like these shepherds, on the socioeconomic ladder, they were all the way at the bottom. Life was incredibly difficult. In fact, for a shepherd boy, for a young man, he probably only had about a 50-50 shot to making it to adulthood. And if he made it to adulthood, he might, if he was fortunate, he might make it to 45 or 50 years old. They would have constantly dealt with, obviously, poverty, malnutrition, disease, injury. So the chances are really high that as these shepherds were sitting there that evening, life was hard. Life was heavy. They were dealing with all kinds of burdens, not extraordinary burdens for people like them, just average, ordinary burdens. Again, you, as you think about your life and the things that you deal with and sort of everyday, average sort of challenges and struggles, they were dealing with that, plus probably a whole lot more on this, again, ordinary evening. Verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The glory of the Lord. When we think about that, we might think about like brightness, and it is that, but I think it's so much more than just a bright light. The glory of the Lord. Like we might think a visible manifestation of the awesomeness of God. A visible manifestation of the awesomeness of God. As awesome as God is, if His awesomeness could become a visible light, that's what they saw. They were sitting there in the middle of the night, probably pitch black, just dealing with all of their stuff, all of their burdens, all of their struggles, just their ordinary, average, difficult, challenging life, when all of a sudden, everything changed. They didn't know what changed, but everything is different. From this moment on, everything is different. From the moment that the glory of the Lord shone around them, their world lit up in more ways than one. And of course, it says that they were filled with great fear. Now, we would also, I'm sure, be filled with great fear. In fact, the literal translation of this phrase is they feared a great fear. The word fear comes twice to emphasize just how scared they were. They feared a great fear. Some translations say they were absolutely terrified. I mean, imagine, you would be. I mean, you've done this so many times before. You could sit out there and you could watch the sheep. It's just the ordinary day. And now nothing could be less ordinary than what you are experiencing. Just imagine what your body would do. Shaking, trembling, falling on your face. I don't know what is happening, but I've never seen or experienced anything like this before. Verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now, when the angel says, "Fear not," he's not saying, "Hey guys, chill out. You're overreacting," or, "Oops, I didn't mean to scare you so badly." He's not saying that they're overreacting. In fact, you could say that their fear was the wrong emotion, but the degree was the right degree of emotion. In fact, when he says that this news is news of great joy, it's the same word as great fear. They felt a great fear, but the angel says, "I've got news of great joy." So the degree, the intensity of your emotion is the right intensity. Yes, as the kids say, keep that same energy. Keep that same energy. That's exactly the intensity, the degree to which you ought to be feeling this. But fear is the wrong emotion. It's not a great fear that you ought to be experiencing. It's a great joy that you ought to be experiencing. What I have for you is going to take all that shaking and that trembling and the weight of all of that you're feeling with the glory of the Lord shining around you, and it's going to take all of that fear and transform it into the same intensity of joy. Now, he says that this news of great joy is not just for these shepherds. It's not just something that's going to turn their fear into joy. It's something that will turn all the people's fear into great joy. This news, what's happened, is for all the people. Now, we may not all get the same delivery. I wish I could deliver the same message to you that was delivered to them, but we all get the same message. The same message that is turning their world upside down will turn our world upside down. We may not get an angel in the glory of the Lord to be able to see that and experience that, but it is the same message and the same intensity with which they were supposed to feel the great joy. We, if we recognize and realize what is being said, we will feel the same great joy. This changes everything. They still didn't know it yet. They didn't know exactly what's changing. What's happened? What exactly is this news of great joy? But they knew, even at that moment, they knew my life's never going to be the same. I mean, my brother-in-law is never going to believe this. You know, I'm going to go home, I'm going to tell people what I've experienced and what I've seen, and they're never going to believe this. This changes everything. But the angel says it changes everything, not just for you. Not just for you shepherds that are here right now, but it changes everything for everyone. This same message, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That is the gospel. That's the gospel. We've been talking about this a lot lately. The gospel is good news. Good news. We have a king. And his name is Jesus. That's the gospel. The gospel is we have a king. And the angel says to them, here's the news of great joy, not just for you, not just that's going to change your fear into joy, but it's going to change everybody's fear into joy. This is a message for the whole world. What is it? That in the city of David, in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ. Christ means Messiah or anointed one. God's anointed king has been born. The one we've been waiting for. The one we've been longing for. The one for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years the prophets have said is coming. One will sit on David's throne and he's going to change everything. When he rules and reigns, his kingdom will never come to an end. And he will bring everybody together, people of every nation, not just for the Jewish people, but for the Jews and for the Gentiles. He's going to bring together people of every nation and tribe, language. His kingdom is going to be a multi-ethnic, multinational, multilingual kingdom. His rule and reign is going to change everything. And for hundreds of years, the people of Israel, they knew that, like they knew that day was coming. And some of them, a few of them, lived every day with that anticipation. Maybe it's today the king is coming. Maybe today the king will be born. But most of them just went about their ordinary, everyday, average lives, dealing with all of the ordinary, average burdens and struggles, the weighty things that they had to deal with day in and day out. And these shepherds probably never imagined today's the day. Today's the day that everything changes. Today's the day that the king is born that reconciles heaven and earth. Ever since our great, 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 great grandparents, Adam and Eve, got us kicked out of the Garden of Eden, we've been struggling and we've been burdened and we've been dealing with all of these things. And ever since our great-grandparents got us exiled to Babylon, and even after we came back, we've still been dealing with all of this stuff. And we're waiting for the king who will bring peace. The king who will reconcile heaven and earth, God and humans, humans and humans. The God, the king who will make everything right. Today's the day. Today's the day. The angel announces to them, this is the moment that everybody's been waiting for. The king has been born, and his birth changes everything for everyone. He's the one who will establish a permanent peace. Look at verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. I mean, almost anticipating their question. So the angel says, a baby's been born in Bethlehem, the king has been born in Bethlehem, and you might think, well, how are we going to find him? How are we going to find him? And they say, yeah, trust me, you'll know which one is him. He's the one lying in a feeding trough. He'll be the only one. You'll find him and you'll know it when you see him. He's the only one lying in a manger. And that shows us what sort of upside down kingdom this king is going to rule over, doesn't it? You're not going to find him in a palace. You're not going to find him at the temple. This announcement isn't being made to the rich and the famous and the powerful. This announcement is being made to shepherds in a field. People who were the lowliest of low in Israel. Who were poor in a poor place. Who were poor and despised even amongst a poor and despised people. They were the lowest of the low. And the angel, God, decided these are the kinds of people I want to make this announcement to. And I want you to go and find this new king, the one who changes everything. I want you to go and find him, and you'll know it when you see him, because he's the one not wrapped in fine linen, but wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Verse 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, as if they weren't already experiencing sensory overload with just one angel, now they experience a multitude of the heavenly host, innumerable angels, a multitude of heaven's army shows up to praise God. And they announce, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now here's the thing. Not everyone experiences the Messiah's peace. Let me say that again. Not everyone experiences Jesus' peace. The king has come to bring peace, to make peace. Peace, as we said in week one of this series, peace doesn't just happen. It has to be made. And the Messiah comes to make peace, but not everyone experiences his peace. Only those with whom he is pleased. Only those who give their allegiance to the king. If the good news is we have a new king and his name is Jesus, then the way you experience the benefits of the good news is you give your loyalty to the king. And those who give their loyalty, who give their faith, their trust, their allegiance to King Jesus, get to experience the Messiah's peace. First and foremost, peace with God. Can you imagine how that changes everything? How knowing that I have peace with God. Other people may not always like me. I may not always get along with everybody else. I may not always have peace in the world. But to know that we have peace with God, that we've been reconciled to Him, that we're his children, those of us who were far off, who had rebelled against God, who had done our own thing and gone our own way, we all did that. We've all been there. We've been reconciled to him through the Messiah. Peace with God. And then peace with one another. I mean, look around. And not just look around this room, but think about our brothers and sisters all over the world. All over the world. Every first day of the week, brothers and sisters of every tribe and language and nation and ethnic group, we are reconciled to one another because of this baby who had just been born. Nothing like this has ever happened. That people from so many different backgrounds could all be part of one family, no longer fighting one another. No longer hating one another. No longer afraid of one another. No longer despising one another. But reconciled with one another. And that even like an internal peace, a peace that passes understanding, a peace with yourself. Now again, not everyone gets to experience the Messiah's peace. Only when we submit ourselves to King Jesus can we experience the peace that he has to offer. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, imagine it took a minute, don't you think? Like just wait a second before you even say anything after an experience like that and the glory of the Lord dissipates and the angels go back into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So they shared the story with the people that were there at the birth of Jesus. And they still thought, I don't know about that. I don't know about angels and glory of the Lord and the Savior and the Messiah. But verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Wait a second. They went back. They went back to their life, to their homes, their family, their fields, their flocks. But, I mean, weren't they still oppressed by the Romans? I mean, that hadn't changed, had it? They still were being oppressed by horrible power and empire. Weren't they still poor? I mean, they don't have any more food than they had before, do they? They don't have any more wealth than they had before. They're not any more popular than they were before. They're still despised and would be for the rest of their lives. They would continue to live in an oppressed nation. They would continue to be an oppressed people. They would continue to be hungry. They would continue to have diseases. But everything had changed. Now they went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And I imagine that's not just for the rest of that night or even the rest of that week or that month or that year, but now their perspective on life had changed. Now they have a peace that they didn't have before. I can guarantee you they have a peace that they didn't have before. Oh, they're still going to get bad news. And that bad news is still going to be incredibly difficult. And it's going to be a heavy burden on them. But I'll tell you what's heavier. What outweighs that is what they experienced in that field that night. They had seen the glory of the Lord. They had heard the good news. They knew that the Messiah had been born and that he would establish a kingdom of peace that would last forever. They couldn't go back to being who they were before. They couldn't go back to thinking the way they thought before. They couldn't go back to acting the way they acted before. Everything had changed. On the surface, nothing had changed. But in reality, everything had. They now knew a truth that weighed more than all of their burdens. And that's the thing, isn't it? We find peace when we realize the good news outweighs everything else. The good news outweighs everything else. We still have struggles. We still have burdens. Even after we have, by faith, seen the glory of the Lord, even after we've heard the good news that the Messiah reigns, that the king is sitting on the throne, that he has established his kingdom of peace, we still have bills that we weren't expecting. We still get phone calls from doctors that we never saw coming. We still have to deal with grief and sorrow. We still have to deal with rejection. We still have to deal with pain. But we realize that the good news outweighs all of that. If this is true, if this is true that the one who was crucified and buried and raised again will raise all of his people from the dead, that he will give us life and immortality and we will reign with him and be glorified with him, if that's true, that weighs more than cancer. It weighs more than what people say about you or what people do to you. Those things weigh a lot, don't get me wrong. They are a heavy burden. But as long as we still wrestle with a question like, what do they think about me? Do they like me? That's one I struggle with a lot. How about you? Do they like me? What do they think about me? What are people saying about me? If the answer to that question weighs more than the gospel, it will rob you of your peace. If you're terrified about what this person is going to say or what that person is going to say, if you, I was going to say read the newspaper. I know we don't do that. If you scroll on the news websites, if you turn on the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news on cable, and what they say and the headlines you see and hear, if that weighs more to you than the gospel, it will rob you of your peace. But you will find peace when you realize that the good news about Jesus outweighs everything else. Everything else. Yes, until Jesus comes again, there are a lot of heavy things that we are going to have to bear, a lot of burdens that we are going to have to carry. But the good news about Jesus outweighs them all. And when we recognize that, that something has happened, a child has been born, and his birth brings heaven and earth together. His birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of God, the good news about who Jesus is and what he's done, that changes everything. And when we recognize that that's true, it outweighs everything else. Becoming a Christian is about saying, Lord, I believe the good news. And I believe that Jesus is King. And I swear I devote my allegiance, my loyalty to King Jesus. I pledge myself, everything I am and everything I have to King Jesus. And his reign as King outweighs everything else in my life. That's what we're saying when we're baptized in Christ. And maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're ready to pledge your life and your loyalty to King Jesus. Or maybe you already made that pledge. But again, just like the people of Israel who were supposed to be waiting for the Messiah to come and were supposed to live every day in anticipation of his arrival, many of them, most of them, forgot to live every day with that anticipation. And so it surprised them when the Messiah showed up. Maybe there's some of us who need to recommit our lives to waiting on the Messiah, to waiting for Jesus, living every day, even the ordinary, average, everyday life, living every day like this good news has truly changed everything, because it has. Or maybe there's some of us and you're just weighed down with the burdens of life. They are heavy. Nobody is saying that they're not. And it's okay to admit, I'm just burdened this morning. And I know intellectually that the gospel outweighs all of my other burdens, but I don't feel that great joy this morning. And I don't feel that great peace. And I want to. And sometimes the only thing that we can do when we have a heavy burden like that is take that burden to the foot of the cross. And sometimes we need our brothers and sisters in Christ to go with us to the foot of the cross and pray with us and encourage us and hug us and be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And maybe you need your brothers and sisters this morning because you are just burdened with a heavy burden so that you too remember that the good news about Jesus outweighs everything else. Our shepherds would love to pray with you in the prayer room, or your whole church family would love to pray with you this morning as together we stand, sing this song.